So here's a question to start with. How long does a Frontier model victory lap last in 2026? Because Kimi K3 came out Friday, and by Saturday night, the answer looked like about 30 hours. Practitioners started posting cost and latency numbers. An OpenAI executive publicly corrected his own hot take about the model. And Bloomberg reported that Moonshot, the company behind Kimi, is preparing a Hong Kong IPO within 6 months.
And each of those on its own would be a decent story. Together, they're the whole arc of an open weights release compressed into a weekend. The hype, the correction, and then the money showing up to put a price on it.
That's our lead today. After that, we've got a Wall Street Journal investigation about a CIA operative inside the UAE chip story, and new reporting on how US AI policy turned interventionist. Then a segment on inference economics, $3.8 billion of funding on one side, and a 1.1 million euro server quote on the other. And a few quicker items to finish. The usage limit competition between OpenAI and Anthropic, an agent security cluster, and a claimed math result from GPT 5.6 that working mathematicians are peer-reviewing live on Reddit. It's a Sunday, and somehow it's a full day.
Weekend stopped being slow about a year ago. Okay, start with the vibes correction on K3, because that's the piece I got the most out of.
So Friday we covered the release itself, the model, the promised weight drop, and the benchmark claims. Saturday, a blog post from Stephen Baczynski called The Kimi K3 Moment went to the top of Hacker News, 365 points, 400 comments. And the picture from people actually running the model is more mixed than the launch numbers suggested. The recurring complaints are that it's expensive to serve, slower than the benchmarks imply, and that in day-to-day coding work, it doesn't clearly beat what people already have.
Tenobris said a version of that on X that stuck with me. His read was that the hype collapsed within a day, and that this keeps happening with big Chinese releases specifically. The launch benchmarks are real, but the gap between benchmark performance and how the model behaves under someone's actual workload keeps being wide enough that the first day and the second day tell different stories.
Which, to be fair to Moonshot, this isn't a fraud story. Nobody is saying the numbers were faked. It's the same pattern we saw with several American releases too, where evaluation suites measure a narrow slice and the community discovers the rest of the distribution over the following week.
Right. And the accurate comparison is to how K2 played out last year. Big splash, a correction week, and then the model settled into being widely used anyway because it was cheap and open. The correction doesn't tell you where the model ends up. It tells you the launch narrative was ahead of the evidence, which launch narratives always are.
Now the second act, which I think is the more revealing one. Dean W. Ball, OpenAI's head of strategic futures, had said something inflammatory about Chinese open weight models, and a screenshot of it went around Reddit with the phrase dystopian hellscape attached. Saturday night, he posted a correction on X, addressing his earlier statements directly and clarifying his actual views on open weights, while noting his OpenAI employment.
And the screenshot economy did a lot of the damage here. The r/OpenAI and r/LocalAlame versions of his comments were images with zero context, and by the time he responded, the outrage had a day's head start. But there's a more interesting layer. An OpenAI executive felt he had to publicly soften a position against open weight models the same weekend an open weight Chinese model was the top story. That timing wasn't an accident, whatever the sequence of his own thinking was.
My read is that the position itself has gotten harder to hold. If you work at a closed lab and you say open weights are a menace, you're now arguing against models that a large fraction of your own developer audience runs daily. 2 years ago, that was an abstract policy stance. Now it's an insult to people's stacks.
Shiro, chuckle. Insulting someone's stack is the fastest way to get corrected on the internet. There's also the TechCrunch piece, which asked whether Kimi is a threat or a menace, and floated the phrase AI communism, which tells you the American media metabolism for this story is still mostly geopolitical, not technical.
And then Act 3, the money. Bloomberg, via Tech Meme, reports Moonshot is preparing a Hong Kong IPO within 6 months. The revenue figure attached is about $300 million annual recurring, up from $200 million in April. Those numbers are Bloomberg's, so hold them at that confidence. Still, 50% revenue growth in 3 months at a company whose flagship product has open weights cuts against the idea that giving away weights destroys the business.
Nathan Lambert made the structural point on X. Chinese labs are demonstrating a level of capital efficiency that the American frontier labs simply aren't matching. Moonshot got to $300 million in annual recurring revenue on a fraction of the compute budget of any U.S. frontier lab. Whether that efficiency survives contact with a public listing, where you suddenly have quarterly disclosure and shareholders asking about margins on subsidized inference, is a different matter.
That's what makes the IPO the most interesting of the three acts to me. We're going to get audited financials for an open weights frontier lab. Every argument we've had on this show about whether open weights can fund frontier training has been conducted with zero public accounting data. 6 months from now, if Bloomberg's timing holds, there's a prospectus.
A prospectus is the one document where the hype correction and the vibes and the geopolitics all have to collapse into numbers someone signs their name to. I'll take that trade. One filing for 1,000 launch threads.
Next story, and it's the top-scored item of the day. The Wall Street Journal reports that a CIA operative named Johnny Gannon spied on G42, the Emirati AI company, probing its ties to China. And according to the journal's reporting, his work allaying U.S. suspicions about those ties helped clear the UAE's path to expanded access to American AI chips.
So the export control decision we all covered as a diplomatic and commercial story, the big UAE chip deals, had an intelligence assessment underneath it that nobody outside the government could see. That's the detail that changes the color of the whole thing for me. When we talked about who gets chips, we were describing the visible layer of a process that had a classified layer.
And it's the first time that layer has been on the record. We've assumed intelligence agencies weigh in on export decisions. That's their job. What's new is a named operative, a named target company, and a causal claim. This assessment moved this policy outcome.
It also cuts against the cynical read of the UAE deal. The cynical version was that chip access got traded for investment commitments and political warmth. The journal's version says there was also a genuine verification effort. Someone went and looked at whether G42's China ties were what critics claimed and concluded they were manageable. You can still disagree with the conclusion, but there was a process.
Discipline note on this one. It's a single outlet's investigation, reaching us through TechMeme's summary. So we're describing the journal's account rather than independently confirmed fact. But if the account holds, every future argument about who should get advanced chips has to include the possibility that the deciding input is something none of us will ever read.
Which connects, uncomfortably, to the next item. Because the people running that apparatus are exactly who the next story says have left the building.
Right. Yesterday, we went deep on Gold Eagle, the Federal Model Access Clearinghouse, so I won't re-explain it. Today's edition is reporting Leo Schwartz at The Information published a reconstruction of how the administration's AI posture went from light touch, the stance they campaigned on, to actively restricting top US models. It's the How Did We Get Here piece for the program we described yesterday.
And the sharpest reaction came from Nathan Lambert again. Busy weekend for him. His critique, roughly, the people in government who actually understood the technology have been pushed out, and there's no documented process behind these interventions. So you have a government that has claimed enormous new authority over frontier model releases at the exact moment it has the least technical talent to exercise that authority.
Which is a specific and testable complaint, and different from the generic anti-regulation response. He's not arguing the government shouldn't have a role. He's arguing the apparatus was built after the experts left, so decisions about what models can be released are being made by people who can't evaluate the models.
The information's paywall means we're seeing this through summaries and reactions, so I'll keep to the structure of the claim rather than the details. But put it next to the G42 story, and you get a strange picture of the American position. Intelligence assessments deciding chip access on one side, a talent-drained clearinghouse deciding model access on the other. Both are choke points, and neither has a public process.
And both stories broke within a day of each other, which is why today feels like the weekend the machinery became visible. Yesterday's episode was about the queue existing. Today is about who staffs the queue and how it got built. And the answer, per this reporting, is hastily and with fewer experts than it needs.
The test I'd propose. The first time Gold Eagle blocks or delays a specific release, we'll see whether there's a written rationale anyone can appeal. If Lambert is right about the missing process, there won't be one.
Let's move to money and machines. Forbes ran a piece by Janakiram MSV arguing that open-weight models are turning inference into a control point. And the anchor number is that Fireworks, Baseton, and Together AI raised a combined $3.8 billion in 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's the market voting that serving open models is where the margin lives.
The logic is straightforward once you see it. If weights are free, the model stops being the product, and whoever runs the weights fastest and cheapest becomes the product. K3 is the perfect illustration from our lead story, an open model that practitioners say is expensive and slow to serve. That gap between free weights and good serving is exactly what $3.8 billion just got invested to close.
Second item in this cluster, Alibaba open-sourced its chip software, its answer to CUDA, following similar moves from Huawei and more threads. TechMeme has it as a direct attempt to erode NVIDIA's software dominance. And notice the strategy rhyme. China's labs give away weights to commoditize the model layer, and now China's chipmakers give away software to commoditize the layer NVIDIA actually defends.
CUDA has survived a decade of well-funded American alternatives, so I'm not predicting its death. But the earlier alternatives were companies trying to sell you a different lock-in. An open stack backed by three chipmakers who need it to exist for domestic market reasons is a different kind of opponent. They don't need it to win. They need it to be good enough that Chinese data centers stop paying the NVIDIA tax.
And then the ground truth, from a post on the Singularity subreddit that I appreciated for its specificity. Someone priced out actually owning the hardware to run GLM 5.2. The box itself, an HGX B300, runs 1.1 million euros. On top of that, they estimated half a full-time engineer of ongoing maintenance, and then came the discovery that capacity planning is now their problem too. Their title was, roughly, owning the hardware isn't easy either.
There was an AI engineer conference talk making the opposite case. Stop renting, buy the boxes, the arithmetic favors ownership at sustained load. Both can be true. The arithmetic favors ownership if your utilization is high and steady. The Reddit post is what the arithmetic leaves out. The maintenance, half human, the failed capacity forecast, and the depreciation on a box whose successor ships in 18 months.
Arvind Narayanan had a background observation that ties the cluster together. The labs are going vertical, integrating down toward training and inference infrastructure. So the same weekend individual builders are pricing single servers. The largest players are deciding that renting anything is a strategic liability. Everyone on every rung of the ladder is having the same rent versus own argument at wildly different scales.
This time, though, the argument has actual prices attached. 1.1 million euros for the box, 3.8 billion for the platforms, and whatever Alibaba gave up deciding its chip software was more valuable free. Those three numbers describe the same market from three altitudes.
Elsewhere in the space this weekend, some quicker items. First, usage limits. A community site called CodexResets.com hit the Hacker News front page, 167 points, tracking OpenAI Codex's banked reset mechanic. The ability to save your usage resets and spend them later. The comments are full of people who've routed serious workloads through banked resets, like it's an arbitrage.
Meanwhile, Anthropic extended the Claude Code 50% extra weekly usage promotion out to August 19th. That came through the Claude AI subreddit, and Indian Express reports Anthropic's Fable 5 plan changes take effect tomorrow, July 20th. Miles Brundage summed the whole dynamic up on X. The labs are now competing for your prompts with resets and extensions. Rate limits used to be an apology. Now they're a marketing surface.
That a community built a whole tracking site for one vendor's reset mechanics tells you how much these limits govern working developers' days. When your quota resets is now scheduling information, like when the market opens.
It's pricing mechanics, so I don't want to inflate it. But tomorrow's Fable 5 plan change is the concrete event. We'll know Monday whether plan change meant more access or less.
Second brief, an agent security cluster. DARE AI surfaced new work testing prompt injection against agent memory systems, the persistent memory features in Claude and OpenAI's agents. The core finding, as they describe it, memory is a place an attacker can leave something behind. An injected instruction doesn't have to work today. It can sit in the agent's long-term memory and fire in a future session after the malicious content is gone.
That's the detail that keeps this from being another injection paper. Classic prompt injection is a live attack. Poison the page the agent is reading right now. Memory injection is a delayed action attack, and the agent itself carries the payload forward. Every session it starts, it rereads its own contaminated notes. On Friday, we covered desktop agents getting broad permissions. Persistent memory is exactly the open question that coverage left hanging, and this work says the concern was justified.
Two builder artifacts arrived alongside it. A repo called Harness Engineering hit Hacker News, 47 points. And one commenter memorably called it the mother of all prompt injections. And Vercel Labs published DeepSec, a security tool that showed up with zero comments so far, so we'll describe its existence rather than assess it.
The pattern across the three, probing tools and defense tools for agent harnesses, are now appearing on GitHub in the same week as the academic attacks. That's the security ecosystem forming in real time, which is what you see when a surface has become valuable enough to fight over.
Last full item, and it's a fun one. A thread on the math subreddit that climbed to 554 points on Hacker News reports that GPT-5.6, given a carefully crafted setup by a human, resolved a lower bound question in convex optimization that had been open for 30 years. This follows OpenAI's earlier announcement about a proof of the CDC conjecture, so it's the second claimed research-level math result from this model family in recent weeks.
And the discussion itself is the best part. You've got working mathematicians doing live peer review in the comments, and their hedges are specific. One camp is checking whether the argument actually holds. Another is pointing out this conjecture is considerably nicher than the CDC one. A 30-year gap can mean famous hard problem, or it can mean nobody looked very hard for 30 years. And a third is asking the attribution question. The human setup was apparently substantial, so how much of the mathematical insight came from the person versus the model?
That attribution question is the one I keep turning over. If a human expert encodes the proof strategy into the setup and the model executes that strategy, that's a genuine capability, but it's a different capability than the model finding the strategy on its own. The math subreddit commenters are treating that distinction as central, and the launch adjacent coverage mostly isn't.
Pause. There's a version of this that's still remarkable, even on the skeptical read. A model that can reliably execute a proof strategy across 30 pages of technical argument without dropping a quantifier is a tool mathematicians didn't have 2 years ago. The dispute is about which noun to use, collaborator or calculator, and either noun changes how mathematics gets done.
No formal write-up yet, so the result sits at claimed and plausible. If a preprint appears with the proof laid out, that's when this becomes a result rather than a discussion. One quick mention before we close. LangChain spent the afternoon pitching what Harrison Chase called a fully OSS software factory. Their open source coding agents for terminal work, Slack and Linear, repo docs and PR review, all on their deep agents harness, with Brace Sproul urging teams to fork it rather than rebuild. It's vendor positioning in tweet form, but the pitch itself, the entire software production pipeline as forkable open source, is a marker of where the agent tooling market thinks it's going.
So, closing the day out. The K3 arc gave us a rare complete specimen. Release, correction, and IPO preparation inside one news cycle. And the Moonshot Prospectus, if it comes, will be the first audited look at open weights economics. The G42 story told us chip access runs through classified assessments. And tomorrow morning, we find out what Anthropic's plan change actually changed.
That prospectus is the document I want most out of everything we covered today. $300 million of claimed revenue is a tweet. A Hong Kong listing document is a legal exhibit. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll pick up the Fable 5 changes and whatever Monday brings. This has been Braid. I'm Len Arkes.